Yo, welcome to another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live, your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution with color breaking news, culture, and mimetic warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. Breaking news came out last week. It's official. Caitlin Long's Custodia Bank, which I call the Bitcoin Bank, and we're gonna get into that, was denied membership in the Federal Reserve System. I would like to make the argument that I think that was a political move rather than a regulatory move. And then this kind of like goes back into the idea, which we've brought up many times on the show, that the same people that are responsible for so-called regulating the industry, a lot of them have a lot to lose because what Bitcoin is doing is it's disintermediating, right? So we're gonna dive into that. We're gonna explore those topics. Also want to cover the official announcement that by the Biden administration, quote, the name of the announcement is the administration's roadmap to mitigate cryptocurrency risks. I would turn that around as a Bitcoiner. I would say, what about the risks of fiat currencies, right? You know, fiat currencies, right? It's literally ingrained in the system. It's literally designed to lose value over time. Right. What about those risks? And then those risks, the inflation aspect of it, disproportionately affect the lower and middle classes that don't have the means to save in assets. Therefore, they do not benefit from asset inflation. They save in dollars. So they get hurt the most. Why is that never discussed? Why is that never talked about? Right. That should be the conversation. And perhaps maybe that announcement gets it right. Maybe you could make the argument. There are definitely risks in crypto. But I would say that I don't think Bitcoin is risky. I think that there's definitely volatility, that's for sure, right? But so far, and I really believe this in my heart, and I know that Dell and Opti do as well, it's the best savings technology the world has ever seen, right? You protect yourself from wealth confiscation, inflation, right? You know, physical confiscation as well, right? It protects the individual, it gives people anywhere around the world, no matter where they are, as long as they have somewhat access to the internet, right? They have the ability to hold on to private property, right? It's absolutely insane, right? So we're going to explore all those topics. But first, I want to introduce a very special guest, Delio. He is a member of Simply Bitcoin. He's part of the Video Essays team. They're dropping incredible, incredible work. I got a sneak peek at the one that they recently created, and holy cow, are you guys going to be blown away, because I was. Delio, welcome to the show. Happy to have you, man.
Thanks to be here, man. How's it going?
Very, very pumped, man. I'm pumped. This is a strong start to Monday. And of course, my legendary co-host, always optimistic. How are you doing, Opti?
I am doing wonderful. But Nico, you didn't introduce Dell properly. He is the illustrious voice of the Simply Bitcoin videos. So this is the sexy voice you guys are hearing. Now you see his face. But boom. Yeah, Nico, I'm doing good, man. I feel good. It's Monday, another day on the job. And just to your point, I'll probably say it again, but sats are my stable coin. So, you know, I just had to get that out there from rip. And then also on the same topic, on the same kind of vibe, what we're doing in the culture today, we had Satoshi's Journal come on this last week, and we had Alu just going ham on what's going on in Nigeria and Bitcoin. And we got some more news coming out this weekend. And so we're going to cover that today. I think not only is it going to get you guys hyped, but also you guys will, you know, get inspired and motivated as well. So I think this is going to be a good day. Great, great start of the week.
Hell yeah. Starting off the week strong. All right, everybody, let's dive into numbers. Let's do this.
The Bitcoin numbers.
Brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse, because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today. All right, everybody. At the time of recording, the Bitcoin price is 23,175 sats per dollar, 4,314 block height, 774,363 reachable Bitcoin nodes, 65,637 having estimate. April 24th, 2024, total Lightning Network capacity, 5,281 Bitcoin capacity value. $122 million US dollars, a realized monetary inflation. I'm going to keep reading that. The because it just takes fiat currencies to absolute school. It highlights how much of a scam they are, right? The if you believe the last CPI numbers, 6.5%, that number is going to keep going down. Actually, when we started reporting that stat, it was at 1.78%. It's going to trickle down ever so slowly over time. The beauty of absolute scarcity. The market capitalization of Bitcoin, $446 billion with a B. Anyways, what I wanted to cover today is just the where we are with the acceptance of Bitcoin from an institutional standpoint. And it's kind of like a backtrack. Like it's kind of looking over, like looking out over time. But the reason I wanted to bring it up is because last time we were really at these prices, right? Last time we were, you know, at the 23K level when we finally broke that, you know, back in, you know, what was it, 2020, 2021. A lot of the things that have happened weren't true back then, right? A lot of things have changed, right? A lot of minds have changed, right? You had people like Ray Dalio, which were, you know, completely against Bitcoin, completely changed their mind, saying it's, you know, one of the best inventions he's ever seen. He said that on the Lex Fridman podcast, right? And then you had the involvement of other institutions as well. You had banking giant, $6.5 trillion in assets, now holds Bitcoin, drives adoption with BlackRock. And what are they talking about? They're talking about Morgan Stanley. Morgan Stanley has added Bitcoin as one of the assets it is managing for its clients. Absolutely insane. Of course, we have BlackRock. So that's $6.5 trillion alone, just from Morgan Stanley and from BlackRock also offering it to institutional clients. And remember, all of this wasn't true before these Bitcoin prices, right? Next, we have Fidelity. And I think Fidelity is the most bullish, to be honest. They released, it just came out on the Daily Bitcoiner this morning. They released this report. It's called Bitcoin First. And I wanted, and I know it's about a couple, it's literally 6 months old, or about a year old, but we've never actually gone through this report on Simply Bitcoin. And I wanted to highlight from the institutional perspective, right? Because we always give you from the Simply perspective. We give it, you know, from the Nico perspective, from the Opti perspective, but we never give it to you from this is what the asset managers that have trillions of dollars under assets, this is their perception of this thing. This is how they're viewing it, right? And for anyone that I went over this, Fidelity currently has $4.5 trillion. That's with the T, you know, under management. So let's take a look at them. I'm just going to go through the bullet points. But first, they say Bitcoin is best understood as a monetary good. And one of the primary investment theses for Bitcoin is as the store of value asset in an increasingly digital world. Bitcoin is fundamentally different from any other digital asset. No other digital asset is likely to improve upon Bitcoin as a monetary good because Bitcoin is the most, parentheses, relative to other digital assets, secure, decentralized, sound digital money, and any improvement will necessarily face trade-offs. There is not necessarily mutually exclusivity between the success of the Bitcoin network and all other digital networks. Rather, the rest of the digital asset ecosystem can fulfill different needs or solve other problems that Bitcoin simply does not. I disagree with that. Other non-Bitcoin projects should be evaluated from a different perspective than Bitcoin. Bitcoin should be considered an entry point for traditional allocators looking to gain exposure to digital assets. Investors should hold two distinctive separate frameworks for considering investment in this digital ecosystem. The first framework examines the inclusion of Bitcoin as an emerging monetary good, and the second considers the addition of other digital assets that exhibit venture capital-like properties. You know, and that's a nice way of saying, you know, shitcoin pump and dumps. You know, the insiders enrich themselves and then everyone gets caught, you know, holding the bags, which is basically everybody else. But it's a great perspective. And that's honestly why I wanted to cover that today, because it gives you a different outlook on how these massive institutions are looking at Bitcoin and how they say and how they agree with us. They agree with the message that Simply Bitcoin has been saying for a long time, which is Bitcoin, not crypto. Bitcoin is different than crypto because it's actually because of its actual decentralization. And even the second most popular cryptocurrency, Ethereum, for them to add all that functionality with the smart contracts and all that, what that did is it increased the resource requirement for you to run that Ethereum software, which meaning that there's only a handful of people that actually have the hardware to run Ethereum, right? Which causes centralization, right? Which is why the majority of Ethereum nodes are currently run on servers, a lot of them on AWS servers, and that inevitably leads to government capture, right? As to date, around 60 to 70% of Ethereum nodes are actively censoring for the Office of Foreign Asset Control. So, I mean, it kind of, it kind of defeats the purpose, right? So again, why are we here? I think we all get into Bitcoin because we're looking at it, speculative reasons, especially if you're living in a country that has financial privilege to have a relatively stable fiat currency. But we're all looking at it from, okay, holy crap, the gains. But then you get there and you stay for the revolution, right? And I think that's what it's all about. But it's crazy to see, like I said, these giant institutions basically coming to the same realizations, even though they might not be saying it the way that we're seeing it, but they are acknowledging that Bitcoin is different than shitcoins and that Bitcoin provides a unique value proposition that is completely different than the 1,000+ other altcoins. Anyways, I'll hit Dell first and then we'll go to Opti.
Well, I mean, you see people on shows like Joe Rogan, I forget the guy, that clip was going around there for a minute, and it's clear that he hasn't done enough research on Bitcoin. I asked a local group here, the where I live, there's a monthly meetup or every 6 weeks or so, and I asked him, I said, can you think of anyone that went deep into Bitcoin, really deep, fully understood it, and then came back out the other side and said, you know what, it's not for me? And they couldn't name a single person. They named different people that had gone on to shill other things because they knew that they could get a quick pump and dump thing over here, over there, while still being interested in Bitcoin. But they couldn't name a single person, and I have yet to see a single person that fully understands what Bitcoin is and goes, you know what, had a change of heart. Because it's like understanding gravity. Once you understand what gravity is and how it works, you don't go, I don't think it works for me. I'm going to go jump off a building and see how it goes.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with you. I think that, and you know, and actually, now that you mentioned that, Dell, right, that's kind of like something that Nayib Bukele mentioned in the Don't Drink the Elite's Kool-Aid, right? He's like, Look, the people that dislike Bitcoin, most of them, it's people that don't understand enough about Bitcoin, or the people that have something to lose if Bitcoin succeeds, right? Everyone else, like, what, like, it's like the people, you know, I find it fascinating, the people that are like advocating for fiat currencies versus Bitcoin. It's like, so you're advocating for something that steals from you. Like, you have what's it called? Stockholm syndrome. Like, you just don't even realize it. Right. So I think it is an educational issue. And look, like you can't deny that fiat currency. Like, look, they call us Bitcoiners are in a cult. Like, how's that shit not a cult? There's a fucking pyramid on the back of the dollar with an eye. All right. Like, that's culty AF, man. I don't know. That's my take. Opti, what are your thoughts, bro?
Well, shout out to the Bitcoin cult members.
Like, no, at least our cult is number go up. Like, their cult is number go down. Like, I'd much prefer to be in our cult than their cult. I mean,
their cult is very much one of those like death cults where at the very end of the trip, you drink the Kool-Aid, like, you know, where so you can hit a Halley's Comet or whatever it was. Anyways, I digress. To that last point that you guys were talking about, I say it all the time, like, I can't see an end to this Bitcoin game. Like, there's no going back to the fiat system. I think as a Bitcoiner, you're going to be stacking sats, you know, saving in Bitcoin forever. Like, as long as you're alive, you're going to be saving in Bitcoin. And I think this is a feature, not a bug, of like this understanding of Bitcoin. But back to this like institutional point, you know, we've been saying for a long time, like, the institutions are coming. That was like the big meme in 2017 where it's like, oh, they're going to pump our bags. Well, like, they've been here. They probably shorted the top.
I would disagree. I think they just got here. I think they got here.
I think in troves they just got here.
But that wasn't true last time Bitcoin was at these prices, and that wasn't true when that original meme started, which was in 2017.
This is true. But right? I think when they first got in, they just shorted the top, and now they're packing their bags. And of course, it's something we say all the time. You know, when people first get in the Bitcoin, they realize the opportunity here. And so if they want to pack their bags, what are they going to do? They're going to FUD Bitcoin a little bit so that they can pack their bags and get ready to go. But anyways, that's a totally other topic, you know.
I think they definitely, to play it safe,
They definitely shorted it, bro.
They definitely waited, yeah, for sure. And they definitely waited for the Bitcoin price to fall down before they started announcing that they were going to this to their clients, right? Like 100%. That, you could say that for sure. But, you know, that meme that started in 2017, right, which is a lot of like the copium that a lot of people came up with, you know, when the price fell from 20K, like back down to 3K, it's like, no, the institutions are coming to save it. What I got to say is that for the next halving cycle, a little bit of hopium sprinkled in, right? The institutions are here, like they are here already. Not only that, right, the vindication of Nayib Bukele and the vindication of Michael Saylor, right? The vindication of Michael Saylor is a big deal because it's going to prove that for public companies, Bitcoin is a viable alternative than holding fiat currencies. And then for Nayib Bukele, he's proving the same thing, but on the nation state model, right? And that was none of those things were true last cycle. And all of those institutions that have trillions of dollars under management, right? They also have at least the infrastructure in place, right, to be able to allow that exposure, right? So, I've never been so bullish. That's what I
said. Yeah. One point that we kind of talked about, you know, smart money doesn't FOMO into any bags. And so obviously they're accumulating. So as a capitalist, I love to see businesses being bullish on Bitcoin, merchant adoption and all the rest. But I'm more excited about the individual. That's why we do Simply Bitcoin. And today's culture is going to be on this. But man, businesses, institutions actually buying Bitcoin. Please, sir, mi familia, pump my bags.
Well, I was just thinking, like, what you were saying there about the mass adoption, it takes those large institutions a while. They're like giant cruise ships. It makes me think of that meme where I'm the captain now. Well, how did the pirates get there? They've got little ships. They got little boats. They can maneuver. So we're the little boats. We can go out there. We can get the information. And it's going to take a while for those giant companies to understand and go through because there's so much noise to decipher, this shitcoin, that garbage, how is Bitcoin any different? And you don't know how it's different unless you spend 100 plus hours doing deep, deep research into it.
100%. I agree with that, bro. You bared the lead there, my friend, right there. You hit the nail on the head. It literally takes proof of work. It takes time for you to fully understand the pivotal shift that Bitcoin is just going to, bro, like it's going to change everything. And I think that most people, they have this initial reaction because they've been living in this nihilistic world of fiat, and it's just like, it's too good to be true. Like, it really does feel like that. But I would disagree. I don't think Bitcoin's too good to be true. I think it takes work. I think it takes commitment, right? And it's hard to hold, man. It's hard to hold. Drives you a little bit crazy. I think that's, look, I'll put it to you this way. I'll leave
it
at that.
Shit crazy.
I could not grow facial hair when I started, I got into Bitcoin, and years later, look at me now. Anyways, everybody, let's get to the news. Let's do this.
The Daily News.
Brought to you by Blockstream Jade, built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. It's an open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin. Blockstream Jade houses a full color camera, allowing for fully air gapped Bitcoin transactions. Scan and display QR codes directly on the device to sign transactions and verify addresses with ease. Use your Blockstream Jade with your favorite wallet software, such as the Blockstream Green, Blue Wallet, Electrum, and Sparrow. Get yourself a Blockstream Jade today and take self-custody of your Bitcoin. All right, everybody. So it's an update to this. And I mean, like, honestly, we've been like covering this for a while. Now, look, this is back from June 7th. And what they did, look, so to provide a little bit of context, right? So Custodia Bank applied for a master account with the Fed. Master accounts gives a tremendous advantage to those accounts. Let me get into the details of why that is. Here is from Congressional Research Service. It's apparently a report, and it describes the advantages of a master account. So it says, for payment firms, a major motivation for seeking a bank charter is to obtain a Federal Reserve master account to access wholesale payment systems and related Fed payment services without needing a bank to act as an intermediary. More recently, cryptocurrency firms with stake bank charters have applied for master accounts in order to more seamlessly transact between crypto and official currency. And I think that's really the key here, right? To more seamlessly transact between crypto and official currency, right? So what was the first thing that they did? They slow walked it, right? So according to the research that I've done, and according, as Caitlin said this originally, right? The normal process for approval was, I think it was like a 2-3 week thing. They slow walk them. They slow walk Custodia for a year. Then Custodia sued the Fed, and then the Fed moved the goalposts and they changed the rules for that retroactively, right? I believe, right, and the key is here in this research report, right? The key is here to more seamlessly transact between crypto and official currency. So if there's a seamlessness to it, wouldn't you say that defeats the purpose of a central bank digital currency, right? Wouldn't you say that? And the whole point of Caitlin Long launching the Custodia Bitcoin Bank is to make that a seamless process, right? And remember that banks have been incredibly hostile towards the Bitcoin industry, right? Whether on the individual level, they've stopped individuals like, you know, certain banks, right? They literally close your bank account if you're buying Bitcoin. Also, Bitcoin businesses, they've had their banks closed if they bank with certain banks, right? So it's interesting how this is playing out, right? And again, you can't confirm this, but it is a very big coincidence, right? At the same time. So let's read some of the bullet points from the lawsuit, and then we'll get to today's news, which was the official denial of the Custodia Bank from the Federal Reserve MasterCard or bank charter. Anyway, so it goes, in the filing, the United States District Court of Wyoming, Custodia accused the Federal Reserve Board of Governors and Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City of delaying the application process by 19 months and called the master account critical to Custodia's business. Quote, such an account would allow Custodia to directly access the Federal Reserve rather than going through an intermediary bank, Custodia said in the complaint. It also accuses the Fed of adopting standardless procedures that allow it to act in complete secrecy whenever and however they choose. So remember, when they call us shadowy supercoders, what they're doing is projecting onto us what it is they know they are themselves. The suit set the Fed's own paperwork says that, quote, a master account decision ordinarily takes 5 to 7 business days and that the processing delay had clearly violated the 1-year statutory deadline for doing so. In February, Wyoming-based Custodia, which was formerly called Avanti Bank, seemed to be moving closer to acquiring the master account when it received a routing number issued by the American Bankers Association, a key milestone in the process to receive a Fed account. Anyways, moving on. This is the breaking news, right? So they filed a lawsuit. This was about a year ago, and this is the hammer that had fell. And honestly, I think that they waited until the FTX blowup. I think the FTX blowup gave them a ton of ammunition, right? To say, oh, you know, this the whole space, it's rotten to the core, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And this is why we push on the show Bitcoin, not crypto. Anyways, and maybe Custodia Bank. Maybe it made a mistake by being a crypto bank rather than exclusively a Bitcoin bank. I don't know. Just a thought. Anyways, Custodia, a crypto bank in Wyoming, denied membership in Federal Reserve System. At a time when regulators are scrutinizing the crypto industry like never before, digital assets bank Custodia hoped the U.S. government would welcome its compliance-first business strategy. The central bank saw it differently, however, and rejected the Wyoming-based bank's application for membership in the Federal Reserve System. Quote, the firm's novel business model and proposed focus on crypto assets presented significant safety and soundness risks, said the Federal Reserve in a press release. Caitlin Long, CEO and co-founder of Custodia, decried the Fed's decision and reaffirmed the validity of her application. Quote, Custodia offered a safe, federally regulated solvent alternative to the reckless speculators and grifters of crypto that penetrated the U.S. banking system. Membership in the Federal Reserve System allows any state-chartered bank access to tax benefits, investment opportunities, and other conveniences. But what was maybe even more important for Custodia was the potential for a substantial public relations win, a chance to show cryptocurrencies increasingly acceptance at the highest levels of government. Custodia is yet another example of the federal government's increasingly assertive approach to crypto in the past few months, as the SEC and DOJ have launched primetime investigations into the now bankrupt cryptocurrency exchange FTX, and Congress has treated cryptocurrency regulation as a hot button issue. Right, fine, you could say that. But Congress was sure willing and able to accept all that FTX money and didn't really complain about that, right? Oh man, those double standards. So this kind of this was announced on, look, Opti, check out the date. Remember what I told you about releasing news on Friday. And then this came out on Friday. Also, look at that. Wow, a lot of coincidence nowadays. So this is the official White House press release released also on Friday, January 27, 2023. The administration's roadmap to mitigate cryptocurrency risks. 2022 was a tough year for cryptocurrencies. In May, a so-called stablecoin imploded, prompting a wave of insolvencies. Just months later, a major cryptocurrency exchange collapsed. Many everyday investors who trusted cryptocurrency companies, including young people and people of color, suffered serious losses. But thankfully, turmoil in the cryptocurrency markets has had little negative impact on the broader financial system to date. While cryptocurrency might be relatively new, the behavior we have seen some cryptocurrency companies exhibit and the risks posed by this behavior are not. As administration, our focus is on continuing to ensure that cryptocurrencies cannot undermine financial stability, to protect investors, and to hold bad actors accountable. Okay, so a couple things to unpack there. First, Custodia Bank denied the banking charter on the same day that official announcement by the White House was made. Number one, what is going on there? Number two, right? The moral virtue, dude, the moral virtue, okay? We're not going to get into that. We're not going to get into the social issues, but I ask you guys to check out the episode when Olu came on. And he made the case how Bitcoin provided hope in his country, but because his country had double-digit inflation, right? Where before there was no hope, right? So I would make the argument that specifically for marginalized communities that don't have large saving potential, inflation affects them the most. That's number two, right? So I would say that Bitcoin is hope, right? Rather than this risk that they're saying. That's number two. Number three is, again, the commingling between the Bitcoin and crypto industry, right? And this is why we focus on Bitcoin and not crypto on this channel. Look at that, man. Look at that, right? The Bitcoin industry and Bitcoin is taking the blame for a lot of the shitcoinery. And I would say that shitcoins are fiat times 100, like fiat without the guardrails. Right. So it's absolutely disgusting. It's an opportunistic announcement. We already know, right, before the FTX thing happened, what the Biden administration's outlook was on the industry itself. Right. They were using the climate narrative earlier on in the digital assets framework that they released in that executive order, which led the U.S. Treasury to release a report literally called the Future of Money. In that report, in the Future of Money, they mentioned payment rails, they mentioned payment systems, they mentioned stable coins, and they mentioned central bank digital currencies. They did not mention Bitcoin in that report. And why did they not mention Bitcoin? Because that would give credibility to the idea that a money can exist without inflation, right? And if a money can exist without inflation, that severely diminishes the ability for the government to spend money that they don't have. Because the only way that would be able to raise that money is via direct taxation, which would be a lot more difficult. That proposal would be a lot more difficult on the everyday average person. But what they use is they use the hidden tax of inflation. They use the deficit spending mechanism, right? You know, the $1.7 trillion omnibus bill, they talk about it. Everyone's like, whoa, that's a crazy amount. But they don't have to go and say, hey, we're going to raise your taxes on your income. So everyone's kind of like, oh, whatever. But at the same time, the prices of eggs just continue to double, triple, quadruple, whatever it is. Right. So, yeah, man, it's opportunistic AF. That's my take. I think that there is, you know, but I think that there is some credibility to the argument as well in the fact that, yes, I think a lot of, you know, Alex Mashinsky, Celsius, FTX, a lot of these scammers, they do deserve justice. They did hurt a lot of people. But what I'm not a fan of is the commingling between the cryptocurrency industry and the Bitcoin industry. I think they're completely different. And actually, we're not the only ones to say this on Simply Bitcoin. There's a reason that we read you guys that Fidelity report in the very beginning. And just to give you guys a quick reminder, those are their words, not ours, right? I'm going to use their words. I'm going to pull it up for you guys real quick. Give me 1 second. It says at the bottom, it says investors should hold two distinctively separate frameworks for considering investment in this digital asset ecosystem. The first framework examines the inclusion of Bitcoin as an emerging monetary good, and the second considers the additional of the digital assets that exhibit venture capital like properties. So maybe not only investors, maybe the government should also hold these two things, and they should have two separate frameworks for the industry. Because the reality is, okay, is that there's just like in the investing, right? There's a tremendous amount of risk there. I don't think that risk exists the same for Bitcoin. And I think it should be treated differently. And I mean, I think that all falls down to us. It falls down to the individual to really get that message out there that Bitcoin does not equal crypto, right? Bitcoin, not crypto. And that's the message that we have to keep hammering home. And eventually they're going to have to acknowledge it. Anyways, Opti, and then we'll move on to Dell.
Well, first, let's acknowledge the Friday news dump. Like, it just never fails. They don't do it every Friday, but when they do, it's always worthwhile to point it out. But I mean, my take, obviously, love what you're saying, Nico. But in my opinion, you know, the Fed isn't going to let a full custody Bitcoin bank join their ranks because it exposes the cartel members that is the Federal Bank Reserve System. So, you know, this isn't about protecting people. This isn't about custodia not being up to par. It's about the Fed cartel maintaining the fiat Ponzi. And, you know, it's an inside group that we aren't a part of. And of course, they'd much rather drop a non-spot Bitcoin ETF so that they can manipulate the price rather than have, you know, any kind of full custody solutions or products on the market, because it's what we know as Bitcoiners. It's, you know, Bitcoin completely disintermediates that system. And if they are able to put Bitcoin and the fiat system on a level playing field, then it exposes the charade that is the status quo. So obviously they're going to do whatever they can to slow roll any kinds of Bitcoin adoption. But this is why we continuously tell you guys that it is a race to avoid the war. We need more people out there holding Bitcoin, taking Bitcoin into self-custody, because we know one thing, that it doesn't really matter what they do, because Bitcoin is a better technology. Bitcoin is a better way to store your value. And we can route around them. You just need more people holding Bitcoin. So, you know, obviously, I'm not surprised that the status quo is doing this. It's just, you know, I think it's just part of the game and where we are right now. And then they fight you stage.
100%. Dell, what are your thoughts on this, bro? You're muted, my friend.
On that first, that paper that you showed up, was that an official government document? The one that was talking about the seamless, all that? Where did that come from?
That is an official government document.
Okay,
actually.
So if you can pull that up, there's an interesting word there. It's right after and. So they're already acknowledging Bitcoin and the shitcoins as currency. They're saying right there, and official currency, a seamless transact between crypto and official currency. So they're kind of denying that it is, but they're not saying that it's garbage. They're not saying that it's nothing. They're saying that it's not official currency, but they're still saying in a roundabout way that it is currency. So it's just this slow progression. And I honestly, as kind of annoying as it is to see this favoritism, I think it's for the best in the long term, because it's just going to make more and more people interested. As more and more know this didn't happen, people go, well, why? There's a lot of people like, honestly, a lot of the Bitcoiners that are interested is we've been told, don't look this way. Don't, that's not worth it. It's not worth it. And there's a lot of people that go, well, why not? How come? And if anybody's like me, when it comes to saving in fiat, you're going to realize, even if you can't put your finger on it, you can feel it like a splinter in your mind that something's amiss, and you're going to start looking for other things. And as you hear people talking about it, like, I've orange pilled my brothers. So that's three people right there. Working on my dad right now. That's a much tougher nut to crack, but got him reading the Bitcoin standards. So that's a pretty good place for it. It's just, it's going to take time, but I think the resistance actually leads to greater fervor with the people that fully adopt it.
Yeah. 100%. I think they're delaying the inevitable. And I think that as more people really truly understand the differences between Bitcoin and crypto, right, you know, that argument, that excuse is only going to go so far. I think that right now, where the majority, remember, we were talking about the Overton window last week, right? Majority of people, they don't know. They think that it's the same. They think it's one and the same, right? Obviously, from the institutional perspective, they're noticing the difference. Obviously, as Bitcoin maxis, we know the difference, right? But it's just a matter of time. We believe that, you know, the mainstream consciousness catches up to this reality as well. Anyways, everybody, let's get to the culture. Let's do this.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today. All right, everybody, I want to tell you about Unconfiscatable. It's going to be an awesome Bitcoin conference in Las Vegas, Nevada, December 7th through the 8th in the D Hotel. It's also a poker tournament. Speaker list includes Tone Vase, Jimmy Song, Adam Back, Jack Maulers, Greg Foss, and many, many more. You can take advantage of the promo code SIMPLY10, get a big discount. Also, check out Boom. Opti and I are also going to be there August 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, 2023. It'll be the biggest Bitcoin conference in Texas. It's not a shitcoin, NFT, or blockchain event. They talk about Bitcoin, and more Bitcoin. You can take advantage of the promo code, all caps, simply Bitcoin. Get big discount on your BitBlock Boom tickets. Opti, the show is yours. Guys, I am moving this week.
I'm gonna be
in and out. Opti's gonna be holding out. Rustin's gonna be making an appearance as well. Snap.
I didn't know you were leaving me today, but all right, peace out.
It's all you, Opti.
All right, guys. Well, all right. If you were here, I believe it was Thursday of last week. We had Satoshi's Journal on. We had Alu and Ragnar from Nigeria in the spaces, just going absolute bananas on what we talk about every single day. It's about the Bitcoin peaceful revolution. Well, we got some more news coming out this weekend, and so we're going to cover this. And I got a couple good threads and all this stuff. So it's just back to what we tell you guys consistently. Bitcoin is taking over the world, and people are waking up to what we talk about every single day. So we're not alone out here. But anyways, there's this first tweet that caught my attention was from Need Creations. It goes, look how much Nigerians are paying for Bitcoin right now on Paxful. And you can see Paxful is a peer-to-peer exchange. And these prices were $47,924 per Bitcoin in Nigeria. So they're paying a premium down there. And I did a little more verification out here. I didn't want to trust. And so I looked at some local Bitcoin prices, and you can see right here, 17,613 Nigerian Nairas, which equals out to about $38,000 per Bitcoin. So what are we getting from this? It's the idea that Nigerians are waking up. Remember, we've consistently covered this in the show. We brought the receipts in the past about the fact that the Nigerian government has been trying to make their citizens go cashless. They've been trying to force them into their eNaira CBDC system. And the people are adamantly not going along with this. They are dumping their worthless fiat currencies for a hard money, which is Bitcoin. So they are waking up to what we understand here as Bitcoiners, what we continuously talk about as the peaceful Bitcoin revolution. And on this same thread, I found this really awesome thread by ScienceXBT, which basically lays out exactly what's going on. So I'm going to read this thread and we'll jump into some of the topics and even got some more tweets over here. And so he goes, have you seen what's happening in Nigeria? A wise person would accumulate the most Bitcoin as possible. A thread. So since the government wants the adoption of the eNaira CBDC so bad, they limited the amount of citizens can withdraw in cash at the bank. We've covered this in the past. And in consequence, how to buy Bitcoin searches on Google are exploding. It is the number one asset searched by Nigerians in response to the monetary policy instigated by the government. Forget about gold. And you can see here, you know, what the Google trends are showing. And people are wanting to buy Bitcoin because the signal is spreading. And if you watch what Alu was saying on the show Thursday, if you've been hanging out in the spaces, you can tell that it's catching on like wildfire down there. And it's just, it's beautiful to see and it's beautiful to be a part of. But anyways, Nigeria becomes the first country in terms of interest for the purchase of BTC, and by far with approximately 75K searches per day. This is clear message that Nigerian citizens have chosen this asset and rejecting the CBDC system. And this is something that we continuously talk about here, that, you know, I dropped some shorts about Marty talking about the CBDC system. And I say it consistently on this show that if you compare the two, anyone with a critical brain cell left would obviously not go along with the CBDC system, because would you want to be forced to use a money that's designed to steal from you, designed to shut you off at will, or a money that is permissionless, that is freedom tools, as we say, censorship resistant, hard capped at 21 million, designed for a world full of totalitarian, authoritarian tyrants. Anyways, now we can observe, and this is what I showed you earlier, that BTC is selling for a premium because of the high demand. And we're not talking about speculation here. We're talking about people willing to use Bitcoin, opting into the Bitcoin system. And again, don't forget, every country in the world right now is looking for a CBDC. But let's go in. I got some more tweets here. Shouts out to our boy Ragnar. And he's Nigerian. He's on the ground. He's continuously keeping us up to date on what's going on down there, the adoption levels of the average person. And this is something that I said in the beginning of this show, and this is something that I truly believe. As much as we love to see nation state adoption, as much as we talk about businesses and institutions adopting Bitcoin, what really matters is people on the ground understanding why they should hodl Bitcoin, why they should save in Bitcoin. And as you can see here, this is a very, very sad moment here that Ragnar is showing us. And it is it's Nigerian citizens fighting over ATMs because they're not allowing people to withdraw cash. They don't have cash to be withdrawn from the ATMs. Like, this is the inevitable end of fiat currencies. And this is why we come out here every single day to talk about Bitcoin. And as Ragnar puts in this tweet, he goes, oh, Nigeria, my country, how you have fallen to the tricks of the money masters. Like I keep saying, your government hates you and does not care about your welfare. Opt in the Bitcoin, take Bitcoin into self-custody using the wallets we talk about all the time. You know, Green Wallet, Blue Wallet, Breeze, Pine, Moon, Spectre, Sparrow, Cold Card, Seed Signer, Jade. And here we got Ray Youssef. He is CEO of Paxful. And he's been continuously covering this story in real time as well, because he sees it on the ground. Paxful is used a lot in Nigeria, and he's been kind of going around on Twitter just talking about the importance and the fact that people are opting into the Bitcoin system. This isn't just, you know, hype and PR. We're continuously covering this in real time. But anyways, his tweet here goes, the most evil forces have spent billions trying to weaken Nigeria and tear it apart. They shall fail in humiliating fashion as the Nigerian youth rise up and take it all back. They already lead Bitcoin adoption, and soon they will lead in things you cannot imagine. And this is why I wanted to follow up the story, because last week, man, when Alu was going in on how his people are adopting Bitcoin, how Nigerian citizens, how the youth are adopting Bitcoin, and all the cool things he's planning on doing over there, it made me hopeful. It gave me motivation. It inspired me to continue to be on this mission as we talk about the peaceful Bitcoin revolution. And again, Ray goes, Nigeria is ground zero for the revolution that will liberate humanity. Everything is happening there now. A groundbreaking, intense election with the true leader, CBDCs, phasing out of cash, an attack on Bitcoin, and the counter explosion of adoption and far more. Niger to the world. And again, we got some more receipts. Nigerians are paying $48,000 for one Bitcoin, and you are waiting for $10,000 in your first world luxury surroundings watching Netflix. Yeah, sure. You are the smart one. And so, guys, I bring this up to not only bring the receipts, but also for us. Look, I'm an American. I'm a first generation American. And so I fundamentally believe in the Bitcoin revolution. You know, a lot of people can FUD Bitcoin. They think that we're just speculating. We're here just for fiat gains. But it's something that we said in the beginning of the show. Once you understand how the fiat system works, there's no going back. How am I going to use a money designed to steal from me when I can basically opt in to a permissionless network that is designed for the digital world, that puts everyone on a fair playing field, and there's no money masters, there's no one in control of the money supply, there's no 12 people that we have to wait to manipulate the money supply. All you need to do is run the software yourself, take Bitcoin into self-custody, and the rest will take care of itself. This is a revolution of the individual, which is why I'm so hyped to continue to cover the story. And I just can't wait to see this play out in more nations around the world. Not only is it in El Salvador, we're seeing rumblings of Panama. We are seeing that Nigeria is leading the world in adoption. And this is something we've told you guys on this show. The countries, the individuals that adopt Bitcoin in the third world are going to leapfrog the first world holdouts, because Bitcoin is a fairer, it's a better monetary system. And all you have to do is opt in, save in Bitcoin, and your life will improve. And this isn't just us being, you know, first world journalists hyping up Bitcoin so that more people can speculate on it. People are waking up to the idea that the fiat system is a sham. The fiat Ponzi system is designed to steal from you. And there's a small cabal of people, there's a small cartel of people that profit from this. Well, no longer do we have to play along with this. We have Bitcoin. Opt out, take Bitcoin into self-custody using the wallets I tell you guys every single day. You know, Moon, Green, Blue, Jade, Cold Card, Seed Signer, Breeze, Spectre, Sparrow. I'm missing a few, but I said them 3 times already on this show. This is happening now, guys. The revolution will not be televised, but it is a peaceful revolution. And all you have to do is opt out of the fiat madness and opt into Bitcoin. Anyways, Dell, I you gave me a chat. You're like, hell yeah, let's go. So I know you're going to give us some good sauce here. What's your take on this, bro?
It's levels, Jerry. It's levels. So it's like I was saying earlier about all the we're the captain now. I'm the captain now. So there's in the U.S., in the Western world, is the biggest corporation there is. It's not a country anymore. It's a business. And it's the slowest moving business of all time. We've got the oldest idiots running the show. They have no idea. You hear them talk about the internet. They don't even know how the internet works. They're clueless. Forget about a currency, a digital asset that was designed and built for the internet age. They don't even understand how it's working. They're over here talking. We're talking about the Gutenberg press and all the books and things that, and all the knowledge we're going to be able to spread around. And they're over saying, well, it's still made of wood. And how about the levers? They have no idea about what's going on. And so while the U.S. as a whole is stuck in the mud, not going anywhere, with a bunch of morons trying to fiddle around with their old archaic systems, you've got sharks in the water and they smell blood. And the sharks are the smaller countries and the people in those countries. It's the small businesses. It's the individuals. You got El Salvador. You got Nigeria. You got all these different things happening across the world. And the U.S. honestly might be the last to fall. And so be it. We don't have to take part of that system. We can opt out, as you're constantly saying. As individuals, we can say, you know what? I don't want to play part of this. I don't want to vote for your system. I don't want to have anything to do with it. I don't want to use your garbage cuck bucks. You can keep those. I'm going to start opting out slowly. I know I still have to pay my rent. I still got to pay bills because they want this garbage. But I can still slowly start siphoning some of this away into this new system. And maybe I won't be alive. I have no idea how quick this is going to happen. People say it's 5 years. Some people say it's 50. Some people it's 100. But I'm not doing it for myself. I'm doing it for my children. Do I hope to benefit from some of it? Honestly, I don't care. I don't care. I truly do not care. I'm in it for the long run. And part of the reason that I have this mindset is because I'm a fan of Dune. And that book and that series works on timescales of thousands of years. And I've read that series so many times. And I've thought, if only humanity could see past their lifetime, what could we achieve? Where we'd be crossing the stars right now if we could see beyond our pathetic, limited lifespans of 50, 100 years tops. It's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. It's a blink in the eye. It's a drop in the bucket. And if we could see beyond that and imagine or get out of our self-centered ways, we could achieve absolute greatness. And we have to have the lifeblood of the system to allow that to happen. Our blood is ruined. It's ruined. It's corrupt. It's cancerous. But there's a new blood that's infiltrating the system, and it's going to take over. And it's going to be a beautiful thing.
Man. Love the rant. We got Dell hyped up. And you kind of reminded me of something that I've heard in the past. You know, I forget who said it first, but it was like, this might even be biblical. You know, take seven generations for the sins of your fathers to pass away, or what the Iroquois say, you know, like thinking in seven generational thinking levels or whatever. I'm butchering it. But man, I think this is what we talk about here as Bitcoiners all the time: lowering your time preference, zooming out, and not stealing from the future to get a little dopamine rush today. And I couldn't have said it better than you, Dell. But anyways, let's get into the meme review, guys.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by Kaboom Racks. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is Kaboom Racks. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRacks. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. Kaboom Racks.
Kaboom Racks. All right, guys, you already know. This is the meme review. This is your favorite portion of the show where I review your memes. So drop your meme review score in the chat and I will cover it live. But of course, tweets are the bullets. Memes are the artillery in this information war. You guys are the frontline soldiers. Continue to ridicule the gold bugs. Continue to ridicule the shit coiners. Continue to counter the legacy media FUD. You know, what else are you going to do as we watch the world get on the Bitcoin standard in real time? It is guide them on the Bitcoin standard. Anyways, this first meme, shouts out to the BTC therapist. I saw this by, I don't know who posted it originally. It's a couple of days old, but I had to put it up because I knew what I was going to be talking about today, and it makes our point for us. And you can see, for those listening in the audio, we got the World Economic Forum in the front with a whip and a bunch of people standing up, and then the World Economic Forum whips everyone, and they all cower in fear, except for Satoshi creating Bitcoin. And then we got a few more people, some countries, that also stand up. This El Salvador, and forgive me, guys, and I'm a public school student. I don't know what that other flag is. But anyways, the very bottom is the World Economic Forum bowing down to the fact that the rest of the world is waking up to Bitcoin. And once everyone gets on the Bitcoin standard, once the ripples ripple out into everywhere in the world, this will be 100% unstoppable, more than it already is. And on that note, shout out to Bitcoin Beach Wallet at BTC Beach Wallet on Twitter. And it goes, time for a sticker upgrade. And I know you guys have seen not only the Drake meme, but you've seen the Bitcoin Accepted Here sticker. But I really like what they did here. The meme isn't Bitcoin Accepted Here. It's Bitcoin Preferred Here with the Drake. Ah, yeah. We need to make these stickers happen. Bitcoin Preferred Here. Drop the fiat, dirty fiat currencies, and ask for the best money in the world. Anyways, this next one, shouts out to Dylan LeClaire. Actually, I think he tagged someone. Shouts out to the Bitcoin Horseman. I'm guessing this is your meme. And I really like it. This is a Breaking Bad meme. And I don't know any of their names, so forgive me. The young guy goes, your UTXOs actually exist everywhere all at once on each node, not in your wallet. And then what's this guy's name? Like Walter, I think. He goes, what?
Yeah,
Walt. The no coiner goes, what? And he goes, right. So like your wallet, quote unquote, is just a tool to see all the UTXOs that you have the cryptographic signature for. Your private keys, they're not in the wallet. Like the wallet doesn't really hold anything. It really should be called a signing device. It's just an interface for you to observe your aggregated UTXO balance, publish transactions to the mempool, and sign them securely so they can be included in the next block of the blockchain, which is basically like a distributed ledger spreadsheet that exists on each node in the network. And Walt goes, what the fuck are you talking about? Oh man, I felt this. I swear this is every Bitcoin at a certain point. You're just like, you go down the rabbit hole and people look at you like, what are you talking about? Anyways, this next meme is by our friend Mr. Robot, aka the Bitcoin Doctor, and he goes, be the light in the darkness. and you can see this Bitcoiner in the void walking with the Bitcoin light in their heart, spreading the signal. This is what you guys do all every single day. And this next one, shouts out to Big Sean Harris. And we got another example of someone changing their life and you know, doing the same thing as the Breaking Bad meme. Since I'm 28, a lot of my generation slash friends complain about how the current system is broken, but then won't listen to me for 30 seconds about Bitcoin. Can only help people who actually want to escape. And then Sean Harris drops a meme, and we got a, you know, one of us Bitcoin content creators and on our soapbox, on our podium, goes, who wants life-changing money? Everyone raises their hand. And then you go, you must change your life to have it. And everyone drops their hand. Hey, why does this always play out? I swear, every single time. Anyways, this next one, I got tagged in one of these Friday follows, this is Signal Saturday follows. So shouts out to BTC Delica. And, you know, we went back and forth. And then I said, appreciate it, bro. Keep the memes coming. And then he dropped this one on me. He goes, S19J is back in money, boys. He says, when you make 40 cents per day mining and decide to quit your fiat job and you look like a bum, but you tell everyone to go fuck themselves anyways. All right, and this last one, shouts out to our newest fan, newest viewer, newest friend, the gold bug in the chat that's continuously coming back. I was hoping you'd come back, bro. So here we go. We got this meme by our friend Justifer underscore BTC, and it's just a simple grid. He goes, gold and Bitcoin, and then we go, gold, storing, it sucks. Confiscating, it's pretty easy. Transferring, it sucks. Gold paying, it sucks. Gold verifying, it sucks. Gold has no memes. Nope. And then we go, Bitcoin storing sucks less. Bitcoin confiscating, hard. Bitcoin transferring does not suck. Bitcoin paying does not suck. Bitcoin verifying does not suck. And Bitcoin memes, dope. Hashtag Bitcoin does not suck. Oh man. All right, guys. All right. So just a little fun. We're just having fun. Anyways, my meme review score for the day. I told you guys I got a whole bunch of sticker packs. I'll mix up the memes for a little bit, but I'm feeling bullish. And we got the little sat on the roller coaster as we continue to have number go up. Anyways, Dell, what you got over there?
What age rating is this? Can I give you a PG-13?
You can R rating? Do. Well, okay. The house is on fire. Do what you want.
If we're doing stickers, I got a fat anime booty sticker right here.
Now we're definitely in trouble. Oh man! All right, guys, drop your meme review score in the chat. But before you do that, go check out representltd.com, promo code simply/Bitcoin. And you guys can support one of our clothing sponsors. Get yourself some hoodies. I rock the hoodies every single day. I'm wearing the, I don't even know what this one's called, the Constant Decentralized Corporation in green. I thought this was a brown hoodie. I'm colorblind, guys. Anyways, there's still some Simply Bitcoin merch out there. So get it before it's gone because it is a limited supply. But of course, let's get to some of these meme reviews, some of these meme scores in the chat. One second. Let's see. Okay. We got everyone's laughing at your sticker. All right. First one. We got Igor, and he goes, I give those memes a 420-year-old living root bridge. Okay. Let's go. We got Elaine. She goes, I give those memes Nigeria rising. Let's go. Rave Elevator. I give the memes a carton of eggs. Yeah, dude. If you're holding eggs, you might be richer than if you are holding Bitcoin today. All right, this next one. Max Trotter. What's up, bro? He goes, I give those memes a dead parrot. Sheesh. Yo. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Simply-Bitcoin for represent. Elaine, thank you. Obviously, I don't know my grammar very well. All right. This next one. Hammersaw. I give those memes a wheelbarrow of rocks. Yes. Shouts out to the pet rocks. This is what it's all about. All right. Well, I guess unless there's no more meme review scores, let's see. Do I have the buzzer over here so we can keep it copacetic? No more memes. Okay. buzzer is in. All right, guys. Let's get into the software release. I'm actually really excited for this one. This one's super cool. So let's check this one out.
Bitcoin software release.
Brought to you by CipherSafe. Don't be that person that loses their Bitcoin seed due to fire damage, water damage, dog attacks. Back up your generational Bitcoin wealth on Steel. And there's no better place to do it than the Cypher Grid by CipherSafe. And now check out their new Bitcoin art, the Bitcoin Rulux Triangle, only on CipherSafe.io.
Let's go. All right, guys. This one's super tight. If you guys have been following Keet.io on Twitter lately, if you use Keet on the desktop, they just literally this morning dropped the Keet Mobile Alpha. I downloaded it. You can download it for iOS and Android. Get true peer-to-peer messaging on your mobile app. I think this is one of these we talk about it all the time. Bitcoin is building in the bear market, and this is one of those really cool software releases that we've seen come out of this bear market. We have Nostr and Keet, and they just dropped their mobile app. So all of you guys should be downloading Keet, and let's try to spread this signal out here and get more people on that peer-to-peer messaging using Keet.io. It's on Twitter, but I'm not exactly sure if it's on the App Store. You need to use their link, but I do have the link here. Go check out their Twitter account, Keet.io. It looks like you can just download it from the App Store, but I really like this. I think this was pretty cool. I'm going to try to get as many people over here using Keet. But anyways, guys, if you like what we're doing, we are in audio only form as well. We're on Anchor, we're on Spotify, we're on Apple. Again, I think we're on every single podcasting app, but we are a part of the value for value economy. And so if you stream us some sats, if you leave some comments on Fountain, I will cover them on Friday. Shouts out to all of you guys that are giving us sats, streaming the sats, leaving us comments, and also clipping us on Twitter. Really appreciate it. But before we go, Dell, appreciate you. Gave us all kinds of signal. Where can they find you? What should they be looking out from you? And we'll roll this one out.
You can hear me and kind of hear my writing in the Simply Bitcoin essays. We got one coming out real soon in the next 24 to 72 hours, I believe. That one should be pretty smoking hot. And you can catch me occasionally on Twitter. If you want to find me on there, you can reach out. But I'm at DeliOpera on Twitter.
Let's go. All right, guys. All right, Dell. Chill out in the back. And if you want to, join us on the Twitter spaces. But Dell, appreciate everything you've done on the back end, on the mini docs that we're dropping. You guys are really going to like this one. We watched it this morning and we were, dude, it's fire. You guys are going to like this one. Anyways, you already know, like, subscribe, share this content, make sure we're pushing the Bitcoin only content out there. Some more people are getting on the Bitcoin standard. It's not just Simply Bitcoin, all the Bitcoin only content out there. It needs to get spread out there. And, no problem, bro. No problem. Sorry. Back end doing everything all at once, but you already know, guys, we'll be back tomorrow. Same time as always, 12:15 PM Eastern time, but come join us on Twitter Spaces if you want to continue the conversation. That's where all the fun is. Anyways, we'll see you tomorrow. Peace out.